7 verses from the beginning of this chapter, Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. This far I desire that we read in our first reading. Before our Heavenly Father, let us bend our knees and unite our hearts in prayer and thanksgiving to the Lord. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we read this holy word of thine, the message from the old times, bringing to our memory the wonderful works and miraculous fulfillment of thy promises, O Lord, thou grant us an open heart to believe, and a heart, O Heavenly Father, that is filled with love and gratitude, that with love and gratitude we may embrace thy promises and live according to thy guidance and thy instruction, that thy holy promises that thou hast given to our father Abraham may be fulfilled upon us and in our lives also. Lord God Almighty, throughout the centuries and old ages, the enemy struggled and battled to prevent the fulfillment of thy holy word, O Lord, and yet there is no power. No power of darkness, no power at all to stand against thee and to withstand thy power, O God. What thou hast promised, thou hast fulfilled. Thou art Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the creator of the mankind, the just God and the only Savior of our souls, O Lord. And now, Heavenly Father, today, in these last days, lead us thou and teach us thou, that we also, O Lord, once led by thy Spirit, once we heard thy voice, the message from heaven, O Lord, once we stepped on the path of righteousness, O Father, once we started walking in the footsteps of the faith of our father Abraham that was in the uncircumcision of his flesh and yet in the new way of living in obedience to thy holy word, that we may be faithful, O Heavenly Father, following not only in the footsteps of our father Abraham, but above all in the steps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That, O Heavenly Father, as he has left the heavenly glory to descend upon the face of this earth, that we also, Lord God Almighty, may realize and understand that every good gift and every blessing cometh from thee. Thou art the Father of light, in whom there is no change or shadow of darkness, perfect light, perfect truth. In thee, O Heavenly Father, is all that we need, and through Christ thou hast given us that grace of thine, that we may, O Lord, serve thee in spite of the weakness of our flesh, that thy Spirit may prevail. Gracious Lord, thou keep us from turning back, Thou keep us from turning aside, that we would not, O Lord, walk in the wrong direction, that we would not turn to the right in false godliness, self-righteousness, that we would not turn to the left in vanity and pride and sinful lusts of flesh and lust of eye. Gracious Lord, may our spiritual eyes be opened, that in faith we may look forward to that glorious and wonderful day when Thou wilt spend the end of sin and woe, when Thou wilt, O Heavenly Father, come to judge in Christ every nation and all generations, that at that time, O Lord, we may stand before Thee free from everything that is sinful, that in that liberty that Thou hast given us in Christ, we may appear before Thy great and holy throne in joy and with gladness, to hear that wonderful voice of Thine, "Come, O ye blessed." Gracious Lord, Almighty God, make us Thou strong in this holy faith. Remove every doubt and fear, O Lord. Make us strong in faith and fill our hearts with true, pure and holy love. Heavenly love of Thy Holy Son, our blessed Redeemer. That love, O Lord, may sweeten our pilgrimage. That we would not walk in sadness and misery, even though we are walking through this valley of tears and sighs. That in the midst of the turmoil that is in the world, we may have in our hearts Thy heavenly peace, peace that passeth human understanding, knowing, O Lord God Almighty, that not for the good deeds that we have done, but because of Thy goodness and mercy, of Thy love and grace in Christ, Thou hast redeemed us. Gracious Lord, fill our days with the deeds of love and charity, the testimony of true godliness, and may that blessed hope, hope of that great and glorious return of Christ, keep us in expectation of Thy victory and of Thy triumph, O Lord. Make us Thou meek and humble, patient and kind, O Father, and teach us that through humility leads the path to everlasting glory. Holy Father, as our father Abraham was waiting, as our father Abraham was journeying, keeping his household away from the evils of those days, and never mixed with the other people and the other nations, grant us Thou, O Lord God Almighty, that we also be separated, that Thy godly fear and true godliness be as a wall around us, that we would not transgress Thy commandments, that we may walk upon the narrow path following the Savior, that we may walk, O Heavenly Father, free from vanity and pride, and in that spiritual freedom, that we may enjoy the joy of Thy salvation, knowing, O Lord God Almighty, that soon Thou wilt spell the end of sin and woe, that the earth and the elements of the earth will melt with fire, and that those whom Thou hast redeemed, O Lord, will find the greatest joy and happiness that is today so despised and rejected, but on that glorious day will shine brightly, and the joy of Thy children will be exceedingly great. Gracious Lord, teach us Thou patience and endurance, long-suffering, and Thou give us continually new strength, comfort, and peace. O Lord God Almighty, watch over us and protect us. Make our journey a continual testimony, testimony of thy great goodness and grace, testimony of thy wonderful love, and the message heralding the righteous judgment of thine Almighty God our Father. Watch over us and protect us. Illuminate our mind. Fill our hearts with thy Spirit. Rule our lives, O Lord. Make us faithful disciples of the Savior. And teach us, thou, O Lord, that we are not of the spirit of vengeance and judgment, but that we are here to proclaim that call of thy holy gospel to come to the Savior and find redemption and purification in the atonement and blood of our blessed Redeemer. Holy Father, keep us thou from the pollution of the world. Keep us from idolatry. May our whole heart and mind belong to thee. For in thee, O Lord, there is peace that passeth human understanding. There is joy that will never end. Lord God Almighty, teach us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. To worship thee, O Heavenly Father, with deepest gratitude and the highest reverence of thy great and holy name. O Heavenly Father, we desire to commend our souls to thy gentle and loving fatherly care, but thou, O Lord, continually purifying and sanctifying our souls and filling our days with a faithful service of thine, make us, thou, O Lord, more and more in the likeness of our blessed Redeemer. For we see, O Heavenly Father, that we are so far away, so far behind that perfect example, yet we trust not in our ability, but in thy goodness and grace, O Lord. Make our heart thy dwelling place. Make our soul, O Lord, to be a priestly censer filled with love and gratitude, worship and praise, that that fragrance of thy presence in our hearts, of thy dwelling place within, O Lord, that fragrance as a New Testament offering of praise, honor and glory to thy holy name, an offering through Christ our great high priest, that fragrance and that offering may be pleasing and acceptable unto thee. For we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, thy holy Son, thy beloved one, our blessed Redeemer. Gracious Lord, glory, glory and honor be to thee in endless ages. Amen. Through the help of our Lord, I desire that we continue our reading, Genesis chapter 21, verse 8, and let us read seven more verses. Genesis 21, verse 8. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which he had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed.
And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. This part I desire that we read in our secondary. We can see that the last we learned about Lot was after Lot departed from Segor or Zoar and lived in that mountain. And after that, we hear nothing more about Lot, other than two nations came out of that unlawful, sinful relationship within Lot's family, and that both of those nations were a stumbling block to the people of Israel later on when they returned from the land of Egypt. Our father Abraham had quite an experience after that. He journeyed from thence toward the south country, and he dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And again, the man of God that received the promises that his seed will be multiplied, and yet had no child of his own other than the child of the bondwoman, a slave girl, Hagar, in spite of having those promises, Abraham fears for his life again. And he's doing the same thing that he did in Egypt. He said to the Philistines that his wife Sarah is his sister. And she also said that he is her brother. And there was some truth in that, and yet it was not the whole truth. And that truth that they said was not designed to tell the truth, but to deceive. And so what happened? The king of the Philistines, when he heard of the beauty of Sarah, Abraham's sister, sent his servant, and they took Sarah into the house of Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. And what happened? Before Abimelech came near to Sarah, the Lord appeared unto him in a dream by night and said to Abimelech, "Behold, thou, a dead man, the woman which thou hast taken, she, a man's wife." It was a short message. It seemed to be like only three phrases, and those three phrases not quite complete. Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also righteous nation?" You see, Abimelech, like all of the people that are Gentile, unbelievers or superstitious, they believe that they are righteous. As long as they do only what they can, they think they are righteous. And Abimelech says, "Said he not unto me, she's my sister, and she herself said, he's my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this." And God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her." See what God answered, that in all the integrity of his heart, Abimelech would have sinned against God. He did, actually. And God says, "I'm the one that kept thee from sinning against me. Otherwise, thou would have been a dead man." What do we see here? Abraham should have trusted the Lord and said the truth. God is able to protect him. And yet, even though Abraham wavered in his faith and trust, perhaps Abraham felt in his heart that he trusted the Lord but didn't trust the people. And there is some truth. And yet, if we trust the Lord, we need not trust the people. As a matter of fact, often, if we trust the Lord, we are not going to trust the people, because we know that the people are not reliable. Mankind is very, very unworthy of trust and confidence. So God is telling, commanding Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he, being a prophet, shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. What do we see here? God is watching closely every step of Abraham and Abraham's household. God is the one that gave victory to Abraham and his people when they went to attack the kings with those very difficult names, and to free Lot and Lot's family. God is the one that protected Abraham in Egypt. God is protecting Abraham in the land of Philistines. And even though Abraham wavered and used a human device, human speculation to protect himself, in spite of that, God did protect him. Also, as a wonder in a special way, God is commanding Abimelech not only to restore Abraham's wife back to Abraham, but also that Abimelech is not able nor accepted to pray for his deliverance, but Abraham is going to pray for Abimelech and his household. So God said, and if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Well, that was quite a kingdom. Kingdom of Philistines, a mighty nation. And God is telling Abimelech, not only he, the king, and his family, but all of them will die. Therefore, Abimelech rose up early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. How wonderful if the people today could fear God just a little bit more. Perhaps it would have been easier to live a godly life. But I think, beloved, that God is watching and seeing all the godlessness that is in today's world, and he's watching closely his people and warning us not to mix with the world, not to receive any of the pollution of the world. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done to us, unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? See, Abimelech acknowledged that he committed a great sin. But he is blaming Abraham for that. We don't see that Abimelech asked Abraham if Abraham is willing to give his sister to be one of the wives or concubines in Abimelech's household. We don't see that Abimelech asked Sarah. Abimelech was the king and he just did what pleased him. But now when he's talking to the king of kings, only in a dream, not physically and materially seeing that creator of heaven and earth, Abimelech is so afraid because God has placed that fear in Abimelech's heart. And so Abimelech is trying to somehow look and talk in a way that is blaming Abraham, and yet not in the way of an enemy, not threatening, but wondering why, how could Abraham ever do anything like that to Abimelech being such a righteous and good man, which he was not, of course. And he said, what hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. He is very righteous in his own eyes. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? Why? What's the reason? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Now Abraham is probably more sincere with Abimelech than more than ever before. And yet, indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness, which thou shalt show unto me at every place where we shall come. Say unto me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah, his wife. Abimelech does not only try to get rid of the danger that is hanging about his household and his kingdom, but he wants to be very friendly, and he is giving a great gift to Abraham. That's amazing. We know what happened in the household of Abraham. All that joined his household in a relatively short or perhaps longer period of time became God's people. Even the slaves that were born in his household were faithful to Abraham like his own children. And so Abimelech said to Sarah, Abraham's wife, behold, and Abimelech said to Abraham, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleaseth thee. And then unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved, or the wrong done was corrected. But that way, that style, that language, the style that he talked in to Sarah, thy husband is the veil or covering of thine eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. What did he really mean? That the relationship between Sarah and Abraham was so important and so lasting that if Sarah would ever think about any other person, only through that relationship she can think of any other man. All other men were either friends or enemies of her husband, and she had nothing apart from her husband toward any other man. This was a Gentile and godless man that said this. How much more we should keep the word of God as a covering to our eyes, looking around to the world around us, thinking, feeling, acting only in the word of God, never believing that there is any pleasure that there is anything better than what the Lord our God has given us to live in, to enjoy, and to serve Him with. And then what happened? Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. You see, Abimelech was in double trouble. Not only God threatened his whole kingdom, but also Abimelech's family, the royal family. If the people saw that Abimelech's family came to an end, that they will not have next generation, they would rebel and remove him from the power. He was growing old, and he had no son to succeed him on the throne. That kingdom was threatened with anarchy and disaster. At any moment, if the kingdom was threatened by any foreign power, they wanted always to have a strong and healthy king on the throne that is able to command their troops, their armies. The kingdom of the Philistines was a great, very powerful kingdom that God has appointed to be destroyed. And so, in the chapter 21, we read that after so many years, 100 years, Abraham lived, and Sarah his wife was 90 years old, when the time came that the promises of God be fulfilled, or just the beginning. That promise that Lord God said to Abraham, when the Lord took Abraham outside Abraham's tent and asked Abraham to look up toward the sky and to count the number of stars if he could. And then the Lord said, so shall thy seed be. The first star was born. A child was born to Abraham when he was 100 years old. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God has spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Do we see that precise definition? Who is Abraham's son? Let me read that again. And Abraham, that's verse 3. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. This is not the son whom Hagar bare to Abraham. This is not one of the sons that Keturah gave birth to. This is the son of the promise that Sarah gave birth to. This is the son of Abraham and Sarah. To him they gave the name Isaac, which means laughter. It seemed not to be that our father Abraham had too many laughing occasions in his life. His life was rather lonely. His life was prayerful. And occasionally there were battles. And there were strifes and divisions and departures. Very, very difficult moments. And after so long, and after so much, the promise of God started being fulfilled. Well, really, the promises of God took their beginning even before God gave the promises to Abraham. God was preparing Abraham
for this moment. We remember that the covenant of circumcision took place after the birth of Ishmael. And now, finally, the first child of the covenant of faith, covenant of promises, covenant of grace of God, covenant of Christ. For in thy seed, said God, all the nations on the earth will be blessed. The first child of that covenant has been born, and his name is Isaac. And Abraham, exactly as the Lord God commanded him, circumcised Isaac being 8 days old. Every excuse, every justification that the mankind can use was eradicated, removed by this act of circumcision. No one had the right to say, this is the way I'm created, and that's the way I will be. God wanted all those that believe in his covenant to be changed. And that change did not take place without blood, without sacrifice. So the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, verily, verily, I say unto you, there is none who will for my name's sake forsake his family, his property, his possessions, that will not receive hundredfold as much in this life and in the life to come everlasting happiness. So we see, beloved, that the sacrifices that we offer in obedience to the Lord are not really sacrifices. They're only a token of our obedience, only a sign that we want to be faithful to the Lord. But the reward, even in this life, is great, exceedingly great. But in the life to come, in the future, that everlasting life cannot be compared, cannot be measured with any measure that is on this earth. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. All that here will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. And now from this moment on, the things are turning in a different direction. Well, perhaps that's the same direction, but it's a different part of Abraham's journey. Now being old, now when he should be starting preparing to leave this life, now the things started taking place and happening very fast. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. What happened? Ishmael was weaned also, but there was no feast. Why? Even before Ishmael was born, Sarah threatened her slave girl, and she ran away and then returned back. The moment Abraham and Sarah, and as far as that goes, every believer, the moment we try to do something on our own instead of relying on the grace of God, we are heading for a problem, for trouble, maybe not only one, maybe many. So at this time there is a great feast. All the people in the household of Abraham and perhaps the others around have to realize, have to understand that there is a great joy, that that promise of God that Abraham and Sarah were waiting for so long,
did not fail. So they rejoiced. But then there is still something else in that same household. That household is not free. That household is not yet purified. In that household is still some enjoyment of the human deeds, something that does not belong to the faith of the faithful father Abraham, something from the past, something that belonged to the wavering father Abraham. There is Hagar and her son, but that's not only Hagar's son, that's Abraham's son. Actually, Isaac is Abraham's son and Ishmael is Abram's son. See, Abraham got a new name before Isaac was born. So, what happened? Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which Hagar had born unto Abraham, mocking. I wonder what was that Ishmael was mocking about. He probably was despising Sarah being an old woman and having a small child, or teasing Isaac that was just weaned. Something went wrong there, just to show that there are two kinds of people, two heirs, one heir of slavery and the other one the heir of the promise of God, the heir of the faith. So Sarah said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Those that are free and the others that are half free cannot walk together. It cannot be one successful household of faith if on equal basis in that household are ruling those that are children of slavery, children according to the flesh, and the others that are God's people, children of the covenant and of the promise of God. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of, not because of Hagar's son, but because of his son. Abraham loved his son. That was his child. And that child was about 13, 14 years old at this time. There was a long time of relationship, father-child. It was not easy. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. How would it be in this life, beloved, if in difficult, grievous moments we wouldn't have the word of God to encourage us to do what God's will is? If we would have to rely upon our own strength, we would not make it. But because the Lord spake to Abraham and said unto him, that in Isaac shall his, Abraham's seed, be called, and that he should hearken, listen, and accept what his wife Sarah said, Abraham was able to make it. And that was the last thing, the last grief and sorrow that Abraham had to suffer. What we find recorded in the scripture for many, many years. Long time, there will be a happy, a blessed time, a joyful time in Abraham's household once Hagar and the son that was born according to the flesh departed. Obviously, it was a happy time as Abraham and Sarah watched their son Isaac growing as the first star on that wonderful sky of faith,
the sky of God's promises, waiting for many other stars to come and to fill this book, to record the wonderful work of the Lord. We see the people that were born according to the promises of God, of the line of Abraham, the children of faith, recorded this Holy Scripture for us. When we read it, when we believe it, when we keep the word of God, then we are also the children of the promise. And we are completing that record. We are showing that in these last days, the word of God is still being fulfilled, and that soon the Lord is going to come in glory. He will come to gather all of His elect ones. He will come to judge every sin, every evil. So, what happened? Hagar wandered through the wilderness. The war was spent, and the thirst became unbearable. She cried. She left the child under a bush. Probably there was at least some shadow. And she walked away because she said, I don't want to see my own child dying. Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him in a distance and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. What happened? The voice of the angel did not say, God has heard thy voice, Hagar, but the voice of the child. See how mysterious and how beyond explanation the ways of God are. And then the angel said, Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. The well was not far. She was very close. She just didn't see it. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. What is here? What is this that God is teaching here? How often the situation in our life may seem to be very difficult. The solution is very close. Just lift up your eyes and hear the voice of God. He is going to guide us. He is going to show where is the well of water in the wilderness. So he dwelt in the wilderness, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. You see, she was Egyptian. She didn't go back to the household of Abraham to ask for a girl to be given to be a wife to her son Ishmael. She went back to Egypt where she was from. She was a slave girl. She was never free. She never believed the Lord. And that was not a relationship pleasing the Lord. So, at that time, after Hagar departed with her son from the household of Abraham, the child Isaac is growing freely, unmolested, protected, surrounded by the love and loving care of his parents. At that time, the outward things started taking a better course. It came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, that's quite a delegation, the king and his general, actually, chief captain of his host, came to visit Abraham. And they talked to Abraham and saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. You see, Abraham waited 100 years. He lived 100 years and waited so many years to receive that child. And the child came, and the news of that did spread far and wide, and the Philistines realized, indeed, the word of God is truth. And this Abraham did not believe in vain. So they come to talk with him. They want to make a treaty, to be friends with this man, because they expect that the rest of God's promises will be true. And this is going to become a great nation. And they don't want to have an enemy, but a friend. Beloved, again, the children of this world are wiser than the children of God in their generation. They look far ahead in the future, and they want to make a treaty to secure friendship with a nation that right now has only 3 people: Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac. They already, the Philistines, want to make friendship with Abraham. How much more we should look into the future and to keep our mind illuminated by that truth that all the kingdoms of this world will be destroyed and all the glory and the pleasures of this earth are nothing. That there is only one calling worth living and dying for, and that is the faith in Christ, obedience to the word of God. So Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. So they made friendship. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing. Neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I it, but today. You see again, Abimelech is always righteous. He is a very good man in his own sight. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock for themselves, by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And Abraham answered, these 7 ewe lambs shall thou take on my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear, both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove, some trees, in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. See what happened? It was a nice place, and there was a good well of drinking water, and Abraham planted some trees and built an altar there, and there he and those that were faithful in his household called on the name of the Lord. And he sojourned in the land of Philistines many days. Well, in this world, when the things seem to be nice and smooth and pleasant, there is always a danger. There is always some threat. Our enemy is always looking for a way of deceiving our heart, to take us off guard, to somehow make us negligent. And soon the Lord is going to move the heart of Abraham more than ever before. The Lord is going to ask an unusual sacrifice to be offered to him. And the whole life of Abraham will roll as a scroll before the eyes of our father Abraham. Everything will come in question, and yet the grace of God is going to sustain the true faith. Which faith I desire that the Lord will give to all of us and sustain in our hearts, that we can faithfully complete our journey, and in that true and holy faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we end our journey, when the faith and hope be fulfilled, that there may remain that pure and holy love, love that redeemed us, love that sustained us, love that will never end. In that love, in the heavenly glory, with all the blessed ones, that we also may praise the Lord forever and ever. Amen.